Welcome to CPA Practice Advisors Tech to Go podcast series, a fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists. These thought leaders tackle issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of CPA Practice Advisor, with episode 56 of Tech to Go. I'm here with my good friend and regular co-host, Randy Johnston. Randy is the vice president, Network Management Group, and also K2 Enterprises. So, Randy, welcome today.
Darren, good day, and what a wonderful new year is going to be upon us.
I hope so. It's certainly looking like that. You know, in Indiana, we've had just a trace of snow for the month of December. Last year, we had almost 18 inches in the month, so I'm feeling pretty good about it so far.
Yeah, that part of it's good. So, again, not only the weather, but even some of the economic indicators seem to be pretty healthy in a number of markets. So I know there's still a few of our listeners who are having to weather pretty heavy times, but there's others that can see the economy turning, and that's a good thing, too.
You know, I think that seems to be true, Randy. I don't know how you can best tell that, but what I could, you know, when I was out shopping over the holidays, boy, the malls and the stores were really full. And then I, you know, read yesterday in USA Today that Sears and Kmart, I guess they're probably owned by the same parent company, are closing 120 stores nationwide. You know, I look at that and you know, I go into Target as an example, or a place called Urban Outfitters. I was in with my daughter and son over the holiday week, and the lines were out the door. So some of that tells me that right merchandising, right product strategy, right business model is doing well, and old and stale, if you call Sears and Kmart that, is not doing as well. Do you have a different take than that?
No, the right business model makes a devil of a lot of sense. And let's pick on somebody who has remade themselves multiple times in that genre, like a Target. Or, you know, across the middle part of the country, Menards, who has a very interesting model to compete against the big box shops of Lowe's and Home Depot. You know, their model just seems to be doing very well. So, you know, from a practice vantage point, I think we've got to continually look at our service offerings, figure out what really works for the firm and what works for our clients, and reposition with, you know, an improved practice offering. Same old thing, maybe doesn't sell quite as well as it used to.
You know, I think you make a great point there. The practices to me that are focused and niche oriented, using technology, seem to be really busy. I'm hearing that over and over again. They don't seem to be struggling as much as some of the firms that have not had the opportunity or ability to remake themselves.
You know, it almost always happens the same way for me, because I do get the opportunity to go consulting face-to-face with a lot of firms, and it's almost like the partners want to shut the door when we're having the conversation, because they'll say something to the effect of, I can't believe how well we're doing. And, you know, when you listen to what they're attempting, they usually do have a bit of a marketing edge to them. They tend to have a technology edge to them, and they happen to have a niche focus edge to them. And it's like those three things together almost always mean higher partner revenue and less hours worked.
Well, something to be learned from that for sure. Today, Randy, I think one of the things that'd be fun to talk about, one of the things I'm asked probably more and more all the time, and I suspect you get asked this on a daily basis, is should I take my firm to the clouds? You know, we've had a lot of discussion about taking our clients to the clouds by using portals and client accounting online strategies like, an NSYNC or Right Networks to host QuickBooks, things like that, or Peachtree. But more and more firms are asking the question, you know, should I take all my firm data to the clouds? And I know we've probably talked about this issue a number of times before, but I'd like to talk about it in a little different model today. I'd like to look at it from the standpoint of, if you're a CCH shop, what does that mean? What does being in the clouds mean? If you're a Thomson shop, what does that mean? How is that different than what Intuit's strategy may be? And then, you know, maybe Drake has a large user base. What does their strategy seem to look like? Are you hearing a lot of questions around that topic?
I'm hearing an awful lot of questions around that topic. In fact, I spoke with a small CPA firm from your home state yesterday, and you know, the questions were really around the security elements. What's the convenience? What's the risks? What's the cost? So by the time you start laying these things end to end, it makes a big difference. I've also discovered that if you are publisher-centric, in other words, you're trying to get all of your applications from CCH or you're trying to get all your applications from Thomson, that your ability to get to the cloud with those vendors winds up being, you know, somewhat easier and somewhat more focused. Thomson, I think, to date has had the most success with the virtual office offering, a fairly simplistic way of putting all the applications in their data center. The biggest objections to the vendor-sponsored hosting, if you will, is the addition of the third-party products. So perhaps adding something as simple as T-Value or something a little bigger like QuickBooks. And, of course, Thomson worked around that problem a little bit by doing an alliance with Wright Networks to provide their QuickBooks hosting and so forth. So for many firms, if you just want your core applications of practice management and tax and document management hosted, both of the big vendors at this point have such an offering available for you.
You know, as I mentioned before we started the call, Randy, we did our reader survey with CPA Practice Advisor for 2011, and 9% of firms responding, and we had around 1,000 responses. So 9% of the firms responding had moved their applications, at least in whole or in part, to the clouds. And as I mentioned before, 91% had not, obviously, the reverse of that. So I guess what I see from that is 91% of the firms still operate their own internal network, buy their software from a provider, and put it on their own servers and they're in their office, much the way I do. I mean, that's the way I operate, Randy, in my firm, as you know. And then I connect from outside via VPN connections and things of that nature. So that's probably the most traditional model to date, right?
It really is. And, you know, if you get your technologies implemented well, it gives you the most flexibility, I believe. The problem for most of our listeners around the country is finding a local installer who has the expertise and the patience to deal with the applications. Again, with all due respect to CCH Thomson, Intuit, and other CPA firm-centric applications, these products don't work well together and don't play well together and don't necessarily use the latest, greatest technology either. So, you know, at the point of this recording, there's a number of core current application technology, for example, Internet Explorer 9, that's not supported by the CPA firm applications, or Citrix version 6, not supported by a number of the core applications. So if you've got a local installer trying to do the application installation work for you, and they do what would normally be the industry best practice of installing all the latest, greatest, current technology that's known working, all of a sudden the applications will be intermittent and not work correctly. And unfortunately, the installer many times doesn't know that. It's not like they've really done something wrong. They've done the right things. They just didn't know of the issues with the applications being installed.
You know, accounting firms have a tendency to run so many more applications than the normal user, I would say. You know, it's right now I'm just looking at my desktop, and I have 6 applications open at the moment, and that's kind of a bare minimum for me. It's usually closer to 8 or 9 applications running simultaneously.
And by the way, that's a real normal number. When I'm sizing desktop usage, I typically expect 6 to 10 apps to be open at the same time. And for the typical CPA firm, having about 75 applications across the firm is not unusual, particularly if they have a few vertical markets that they're playing in. What happens is you wind up with not only the traditional tax planning software, but if you've got a more sophisticated practice, you may have supporting tools for those different areas. So I feel good when I can get a CPA firm below 100 apps, or even better, below 50 apps. But as you start thinking about it, you really realize you've got a lot of these applications that have to interact, and even very, very large businesses don't run as many applications that have to interact. So to a degree, I consider CPA firms among the most complex of businesses to install because of all the applications and because of the multiple publishers in play.
Therein lies the challenge that you mentioned before, that with the local technical providers not understanding all the complexities of an accounting firm's, and particularly the applications that go along with an accounting firm. Because it's not like we're just running Microsoft Office, as we mentioned, and Internet Explorer. We're running a host of other applications, and they require a lot of effort to maintain those. So I think, Randy, a good place to start is I want to kind of describe to you a little bit about my current on-premise setting, and then let's look at that and compare and contrast that to the various vendors and what it would look like if I were to move that to the clouds. And that might be a good way for our listeners to sort of think about this. As we mentioned, I am mostly on-premise. So when I say mostly on-premise, my document management system's on-premise, my tax software, my accounting software, Exchange can be on-premise, my practice management software, pieces like that. Now, we use QuickBooks in the clouds quite a bit, and so we use a provider out of the office and have that hosted in the cloud. So that really doesn't live on-premise. We don't have our website on-premise. We don't maintain our portals on-premise. Those are all things I like to think of as client-facing solutions, and those are all out in the cloud. So I guess at some level, I have a blended cloud solution and on-premise solution even to our office. Does that make sense?
It does.
So as I think about starting to move to the clouds, I guess let's pick on CCH first. I could certainly have an on-premise set of solutions from CCH, but they have their SaaS offering now. So sort of explain to me how I would think about moving my firm into CCH into the clouds.
Well, if you look at CCH's offerings today, and they're only making this available to smaller firms, and I do have firms quite successfully running in the CCH cloud. They've only made these applications available: practice management, document, their tax product, ProSystem Tax, their portal, and their workflow product called WorkStream. The one key product that they're missing today is the CCH Engagement, the Audit Manager. But for most of our listeners who have a tax practice, you have everything that you need to be able to do all of the elements of your practice, from the planning process, the billing process, the portals, all of it's there. And you basically can convert and migrate your data from any of the common platforms. But if you're a CCH shop, there's a migration utility that will take your current CCH files, run them through a cleanup process, and then load them into the CCH data center down in Texas. The experience from that point, you have a client that runs on your local laptop or desktop. You connect into the cloud, and you basically have all of the applications available to you. CCH also does Microsoft Office hosting at this point, so you can do the core CCH plus Office. Anything else, you're still going to have to maintain either a local network copy or a local copy on your machine itself. Kind of the same strategy you're doing with QuickBooks. You'd have to go to a third party to have QuickBooks hosted. There's no offering from CCH for that today.
Okay. So you said that I have a local client installed at that point. So I could move the majority of my apps today into CCH's cloud offering. But you said there's a local client. So to me, that means there's a little footprint on my PC at my office, because I believe in CCH's case, it does not run in a Mac environment today. Am I right on that?
That's right. To my knowledge, there's no Mac available and there's no browser-only available client. Both of those were performance decisions that CCH made. So the other thing that really, I shouldn't say eliminates, but restricts, is the type of computers that you can run that on, because you can't just walk up to any computer and hook up to a browser and run. You actually still have this limitation of needing this little stub. Now, I think over time, CCH will make a lower performance version run in a browser only, but that's not the current strategy.
Okay. So if I had 10 workstations in my office, I have 10 clients installed, and those are updating, I guess, on somewhat of a regular basis, but probably fairly automatic is my guess.
Yep, very automatic. If you think kind of like Windows Update or Microsoft Update, as it's been called, basically you can set that in background and it updates the software for you. And same way with this little client, there have not been a lot of updates that I'm aware of to date because the code's fairly simple, but it's very transparent, little installation process, and you've got all of your quote desktop maintenance that you have to do done.
So the majority of my programming, data, all that kind of stuff lives out in the clouds, and there's probably just some small calculations and things happening more local. Would that be fair?
Probably not even the small calculations, Darren. Really, everything's living up in the cloud. What's being run locally is just user interface, presentation, and just controlling the interactions of the laptop or desktop. I think the entire application could live in a browser, but I think the way the application performs in a browser wasn't quick enough for CCH's taste.
Okay. So let's now take a look at Thomson. Thomson has approached this from a different perspective. CCH, I'll back up a minute. CCH, when it set out on a process, and gosh, I got to think it's been 6 years ago now, right, when they redesigned and rewrote the core applications we just talked about to be optimized and to live in the cloud. Am I right on that?
That is correct. So they really built, let's say, designed, engineered, and built the product from scratch with pretty much a clean slate.
Thomson took a different route, and I got to think that I don't remember when they started this route, but I got to think it was probably maybe 6 years ago or so. Would that be about right?
That's also about right.
Yeah, they said, okay, we're going to take our on-premise applications that firms have been running in their office, and we are going to host that same application in their data center, removing the burden from the accounting firm from having to do updates and backups and things like that. So explain their offering a little bit more clearly.
Well, the way that the product started, or the genesis started of that, is they were trying to take all of the administrative burden off. So they used a Citrix technology, a very popular remote application that handles multiple monitors and printers better and so forth. And they actually put it up initially on top of a very reliable Unix platform. So we wind up with this Citrix running over Unix. But from an end user perspective, then we now have access to the product either through a thick Citrix client or, as it's evolved, through a browser. And of course, Citrix has evolved to become the leading interface today for iPad tablets or to Mac users because of the way that Citrix works. In the environment, though, there's been restrictions on how the hosting has been done. So not all of the most current technologies are used in this environment. And if you think about it, that's probably all right. We don't have to be running on the latest, greatest technology if the technology works in a reliable fashion. So it's not unusual for someone being hosted, for example, to be running back on Exchange 2003 instead of on the more current Exchange 2007 or 10. So a firm that I visited this past week in Pennsylvania, who is using the Thompson Virtual Office with good success, you know, was actually having issues getting their databases coordinated and their handheld phones updated because they'd been assigned to Exchange 2003 servers and were not able to use the ActiveSync technology to make their iPhone integration work.
Okay.
So, you know, again, there's technology choices being made, and many of the hosting vendors also use some of the older, more reliable technologies and shy away from some of the most current, latest state-of-the-art Windows technologies, for example.
And that certainly makes sense to me. I mean, if I'm, it's a lot easier for me sometimes to keep a desktop running with, you know, let's say Internet Explorer, you know, 7 than it is to deal with the problems of IE9. And when you're talking about a user base like Thompson has, boy, they got to make sure things are really ready to go for them, and maybe beyond the point of ready to go before they make those upgrades. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Oh, it is absolutely the case. And in fact, I can't see a real reason for the hosted user to necessarily be running on the latest technology, because it's one of those who cares things. The focus is really, what is it we're trying to run as our application, and is it available 100% of the time? So reliability takes way greater precedence than latest state-of-the-art technology.
So, you know how I am, and you're a lot the same way. We kind of like some of the new toys and gadgets to play with. You know, I would have a tendency to get frustrated if somebody was driving my decision-making as to, you know, when I could go to Exchange 2010, as an example. So, I mean, every user, every firm has to look and see where they're at and what they're after and what they value as they think through these choices, right?
That's right. And in fact, you and I are exactly alike on this. We will use the latest technology to leverage our time. And we will look at a lot of different technologies and say, how can I use that to improve my practice, to drive down the time that I'm using to provide a better client service? And if you are more of what I would call a heat seeker on technology, going towards the better, latest stuff, the hosting providers will frustrate you because they have very stringent restrictions. They're not going to vary from those restrictions very much, and that can be a limiting factor for you for trying new technologies. But if you're like probably the majority of our listeners that, you know, just don't want to have to worry about technology, you just want technology to stay out of their way, don't want to have to mess with it or think about it, then if they can live with the restrictions of the hosted environment, that's a great option, because, you know, they eliminate some of the ongoing maintenance, they eliminate some of the costs for maybe local computer support, and they might be able to be self-supporting to a degree, which is possible with the hosted environment.
Thompson's offering also, I believe, has Microsoft Office as a part of that. So a firm would potentially still need something if they're running, let's say, T-Value or other ancillary programs besides the Thompson suite and Microsoft Exchange, much like you would need in the CCH environment. Does that sound right?
That is right. But again, when you think about versions, you know, Office 2010 has been out for a year plus, and most of the virtual office deployments are still on Office 2007 or Office 2003.
Yeah.
So using the latest Microsoft Office isn't necessarily an option for you either. Now, again, not saying that's bad, because most of us don't use the newest features of Office. But you can have everything that you need from a complete practice management, tax, document management, and so forth, all the firm applications, plus your office. So it is just those few stray apps that you have to load locally on your hard drives.
So it seems fairly clear where CCH's strategy is going. They've rebuilt from the ground up, or not rebuilt, they've built from the ground up to be in a data center, so in the cloud environment. Thomson didn't necessarily rebuild. They adapted and created a data center, and they're hosting solutions, their solutions, into it. What's their strategy as it relates to the cloud? I mean, they're doing a lot of cloud stuff right now, but where are they coming out on this whole thing?
Well, they are, and since even the last Tech2Go that we recorded, Darren, you probably saw the announcement from Intuit about their ProLine practice management product, and they'll do some rebranding here in this year. But fundamentally, they're building new products to take care of tax as a SaaS, a software as a service, runs in a browser type application. They're going to do the same type of thing with their practice management and so forth. So they're going to continue a migration not to a data center or hosting model so much as they are to a pure SaaS model. So at that point, that calls into question, okay, if you're a dyed-in-the-wool LeCert shop or you're a dyed-in-the-wool Pro Series shop, what do you do? And the answer in that is you're going to go to a third-party hosting company. But for Intuit itself, I think that the vision, the best I can interpret as an outsider, is they see the future as SaaS, and they're completely building or rebuilding products to be browser-only capable.
Where would you see their solution set at the moment? And I ask that from the standpoint, we talked about CCH having their five of their core products, you know, ready to go and in the marketplace. Thomson has their whole suite of software in their hosted environment. Where would you put Intuit in this process?
Well, they're still relatively new. I think this will be the second full tax year for their SaaS tax product to be usable. I think it's usable for individual returns, but not so usable for corporate tax at this point. However, it's pretty far along in terms of its usability. So I figure by the time Intuit comes out of this season, they're going to be in a position that users of different tax products can look at the ProLine tax as a real possibility of a replacement tax product. But as you know, Darren, and all of our listeners know, people change software. CPA firms change software about as often as they change religions and physicians. Mm-hmm. So it'd have to be a pretty traumatic event for somebody to look at their tax software and say, you know, I'm going to change tax software this year. They're going to have some pretty compelling reasons to go there. But if you're an Intuit shop and you want to get to the cloud, your only choices are, I think, to switch to the ProLine Tax SaaS or to get your LeCert or Pro Series hosted by some other vendor.
Does Intuit at this point have a suite that is integrated enough that we would call it a suite with, let's say, document management, practice management, tax, portals, things like that we're seeing from Thomson and CCH at this point?
None of the Intuit offerings really qualify as a suite in my mind at this point. However, it is clear that they're moving that way with the addition of the practice management, and there is some rumors in the marketplace, which we'll see if they come to fruition, for doing an engagement manager. And if Intuit arrives at that position, then they will be a suite player at that point. It's also pretty clear that their document management solution that they've been working on will play into their product, do portals and some other pieces as well. So today, no.
Yeah.
Near future, yes, I suspect so. And so as we get to mid-2012 and beyond, I think that we'll actually have three or maybe four, if we count Drake, players that have complete suites that you could use to run an entire practice.
Intuit, have they rolled out portals yet. I haven't heard or seen their portal solution from, say, a document presentation, tax presentation sort of standpoint.
They don't really have a pure portal, but they do have alliance relationships with key players like ShareFile.
Yeah.
And so they've been using that as one of their delivery mechanisms. And I think you'll see the integration with your document management system as being another approach. So if we take another name that most of our listeners will recognize, e-file cabinet out of Utah, that product's really matured a lot over the last 2 to 3 years with a nice portal capability, with nice document management integration into QuickBooks and across the rest of the line. So you'll see a much more serious integration capability from that direction.
Well, the last key player that I think we wanted to talk about was Drake. Drake has a lot of users in the marketplace. I don't know what their user count is. Do you know what it is offhand?
You know, I wish I did, but I don't know what it is offhand. But my perception is that it's a fairly large base of users, and it's one of the products that I think is the most underpriced of all in the marketplace. A typical Drake annual fee might only be $1,300, $1,500, somewhere in that range.
Right.
And the product is clearly worth $3,000 or $5,000. So, you know, I think they're underpriced by double or triple. And I think that many firms don't look at them as seriously because they're almost too cheap.
They seem to find their way into a lot of tax shops. And I wouldn't even say small tax shops, because some of these tax shops that they find their way into are doing 5,000 returns and so on. But they really do well in that tax-specific sort of practice. I haven't heard of anything coming out of Drake that says that they have any cloud offering or any intent at creating a cloud offering at this point. Do you know anything different than that?
You know, I don't know of anything different at Drake. You are absolutely correct. They play exceptionally well where you've got high volume tax practices, and they include, you know, practice management and document management and so forth in, as part of their suite. But, I've heard nothing specific from John Sapp or Becky Reed or any of the contacts that I have there that says this is where we're going. I thought it was very interesting to ponder why they had acquired Copanion Gruntworks earlier this year. You know, obviously that's a 1040 work paper product you and I have talked about in the past.
Yeah.
A completely SaaS-enabled product, a very fine little product for what it does. And I really think that Drake was trying to just have a competitive 1040 product without building it. And so they've been marketing that pretty heavily. I've talked to firms in the last 7 days who have made the decision to use Drake and Copanion as their core strategy this year. And in many cases, they were just appalled at the reduced costs. And as they attempted using the product in the extended, extension tax season, they discovered that they could do a lot of the returns that they needed with the Drake tax products with good success.
Sure. Well, that's kind of the key players in the marketplace. Randy, do we miss any major players there?
Well, you know, maybe the only other one that could be a player is the Red Gear folks.
Sure.
Currently they've been owned by H&R Block. There's some indicators they may become a standalone company again. But regardless of that, they've got practice management and document management and a good little tax product and so forth. They're probably at the same level as a Drake, or they may be like the small business division of CCH, the ATX tax-wise product lines that they have. But from the vantage point of hosted by the publisher, I don't know of an offering in the Red Gear line at this point that would qualify for that part of our conversation. So, you know, when by the time we look at the top 4 or 5 players, there's really no other publisher-hosted products that I'm aware of today.
Well, you mentioned ATX. So CCH Small Firm Services, you know, their other I guess, main product line, again, competes very head-to-head, I suspect, with the Drake in that space. It seems to me like they are starting to think heavy and hard about the whole cloud offering from their perspective, but I'm not in the know enough to know what their direction is going to be. Do you know much about that?
Well, you know, I can tell you that the manager or president of that business unit, Jeff Gramlich, smart business manager, and the product itself has always been very web-enabled. So, you know, if in fact CCH strategically wants to turn that up as a hosted product, technically I can see how it can work. But I don't know of any announced strategy or anything that's being developed that says we're headed down that path. You know, the ATX Small Firm Services Group, tens of thousands of returns processed on that product by the numbers that I saw last. So they wind up being a very major player. Their e-filing numbers are as big as some of the Thompson numbers that I see. And that's
and they're staggering.
Pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm just amazed at the volume that has to be going through that product. And again, at a fairly attractive price point.
Well, it sounds to me like, Randy, as we look to 2012, you know, our advice to firms is don't rush to the cloud. Maybe I guess I'll articulate mine. You can tell me how yours will be different. Maybe don't rush to the cloud, but be very thoughtful about, does it make sense for your firm? What do you want to accomplish? You know, how many applications are you running? Are you still going to have on-premise servers? This is not a quick, oh, I want to be in the cloud sort of decision. You got to really think about the pros and cons and what you're trying to accomplish here. I believe the cloud will continue to be popular in 2012 and beyond, but I don't think we need to rush everything there. We need to put some thought into it. What's your advice?
Well, I tend to come at it first from a cost and complexity perspective. Not very often does a cloud deployment cost less than an in-house deployment. Number two, the flexibility tends not to be as good in the cloud. That said, I do believe we'll continue to see some migration into the cloud services. There are competitive hosting companies that are doing well, CPASP NSYNC being a good example of that, or Cloud9 Real-Time being another example, or Real-Time Data Services being an additional example, who have taken this strategy that we're going to take all of the different CPA firm-centric publishers, and we're going to support those applications in a hosted environment. And that is a strategy that can work if you cannot get local resources. But my core advice still goes back to fundamental business. What's your business plan strategy? What's your business plan tactic? That will determine our IT strategy and our IT tactic. And, you know, for me, it's about how do I create and deliver the client service that's needed for my firm and for my market and for my niches. And in some cases, that will drive you into the cloud. In some cases, that will drive you further in-house. And both are fine. You don't have to listen to the frenzy of you must be in the cloud. But if it's right for you strategically, there are some cloud advantages that you may find of value for you, your firm, and your clients.
I think well said. I think that's good advice. But again, I don't think we've heard the last of the cloud for 2012. I think there's going to be a lot of discussion this year on the cloud. Before we close, Randy, the last, I'm sure you saw it in the news. I can't remember the name of the firm, the security firm that does a lot of work with the government and things, that was recently hacked into by, you know, the hacking group. I guess they call themselves Anonymous. Did you see that in the news in the last couple of days?
I did. And I don't know much details about it, but, you know, what I've been saying on that, Darren, publicly, is the worst computer security time that we're going to have is from the summer of 2010 through the summer of 2012. In other words, we're right in the thick of what I consider some of the worst computer security that we've ever had. Now, I have some reasons why I think that'll improve in mid-2012, and I've got some reasons why I think it's so bad right now. We have massive security holes in our organizations out there.
Yeah. And that's the thing I wanted to bring to light, how important security is to a firm, whether it's on-premise or in the clouds. We have to be very, very security-minded. And I think we need to, in 2012, be paying attention to what our security procedures and protocols are.
Very much so. And, you know, one item that we've talked about in prior calls that, you know, I'll just remind our listener for this particular podcast is, if you're going to be in the cloud or you're going to be in-house, it's really mission critical in my thinking that you have an updated next-generation firewall protecting your firm. Even if all your data lives in the cloud, you don't want anything that would happen to be in-house accessible. And if you are running your system in-house, you definitely want to protect it. So we've got hardware-level issues, we've got encryption-level issues, and we've got antivirus-level issues that still need our attention, and we can't take the eye off the ball there, whether we're in the cloud or whether we're in-house.
A lot to think about for a small accounting firm owner on a regular basis. This job's not getting any easier, Mr. Johnson.
It is not getting any easier at all. In fact, if anything, it's gotten much harder in the last 5 years because the complexities have gone up so much. And frankly, the options have also increased.
Well, Randy, we're out of time today. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully you had great holidays, and looking forward to seeing you and spending time with you in 2012.
I'm looking forward to that, wherever it is around the country, and hopefully I can see you in that new set of wheels you have.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, best of New Year's to all of our listeners. I hope everybody has a wonderful 2012, and if there's anything that Randy or myself can do for you, please don't hesitate to let us know. So, Randy, good day to you.
All the best to you and all of our listeners. Till another time. Good day.
For more info on the CPA Practice Advisor programs and our e-newsletter, visit cpapracticeadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 1-800-456-0864, extension 2107, or tune into future episodes where you will be able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.